Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I am David.
I am Natalie.
How are you, Natalie?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, we're having a good weekend. A good long weekend because it's Juneteenth. I have Juneteenth off from work. Yep. And that's...
It's a new federal holiday.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I celebrated it. I don't know if celebrated is the right word. I don't know if I honored it correctly by, you know, going to Trader Joe's, but... I'm glad that people are acknowledging that part of history, at least. Absolutely. And they didn't for so much of our lives, or at least white people didn't.
Yeah. We should, I was gonna, we should maybe, support black-owned businesses, make some recipes.
Yeah, I should have, maybe we can order dinner tonight from, I don't know, a black-owned restaurant.
Nearby, okay. But yeah, we've been doing a lot of housework, too, a lot of home projects.
Yeah, because we're kind of like Marshall and Lily.
Yeah.
In this episode, we'll get to that later. If you don't know the show, this is a podcast where we watch an episode of Friends and an episode of How I Met Your Mother every week and discuss, compare and contrast. We're on season 3, episode 7. Season 3, episode 7 of Friends is called The One with the Race Car Bed, and season 3, episode 7 of How I Met Your Mother is called Dois a Tripla. Dois a Tripla we'll put a pin in and come back to later. Let's start by talking about season 3, episode 7 of Friends, which again is called The One with the Race Car Bed.
Take it away.
I will take it away. First, I'm going to take the collar off our noisy dog.
Yeah, she's a problem.
Yeah, she wants attention. She's like, why are you giving attention to those microphones? So we get, I always like when Friends does a cold open that is essentially a standalone little, it has nothing to do really with the plot.
Right.
It's just, they're at the perk, Ross is talking about dinosaurs,
yeah.
And we get this little what everyone is thinking.
Yeah, we get an internal dialogue.
And so Rachel's she's in love with him, so she's I like that he's so passionate or whatever. And then Monica's I wish these stories would go extinct or whatever.
Yeah.
Chandler's thinking about superheroes. This is where I know this is the first of
it's a Friends first.
Yeah. This is where we find out that Gunther is pining for Rachel.
Yeah.
Which I understand is a thing going forward.
Yeah.
So we get Gunther's, and then Joey's doing, is he doing the Odd Couple theme? Is that what that was?
I don't know what that is.
No, that's not the Odd Couple theme. What is that song?
I don't know. It just...
Maybe, I don't know. It's
call to action, listeners.
Yeah, listeners. Let us know. I'm sure I could Google it. What is Joey humming in The One with the Race Car
No,
Bed?
I want someone to tell us.
Okay.
Do you think someone will?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh, but the funny part of that is that, so we're all hearing their internal dialogues, but Phoebe and Joey are so in sync that she hears his.
And yeah, and she's is someone singing?
Song? Yeah. Yeah,
it's not the Odd Couple theme. I looked it up, but
okay.
it's Baby Elephant Walk.
Okay.
Which I knew I recognized. Okay. You're right. Yeah. I think I was singing the Odd Couple theme because it wasn't there. An episode in season 1 where they're all sitting around the perk, not talking, they're reading magazines and Ross is doing a crossword or something, and they all start humming the Odd Couple theme together. Wasn't that a thing that happened?
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right. I want to take a moment to talk. We're, 7 episodes into the 3rd season of this show. We've never really talked about the opening titles and what everyone's doing in the fountain.
Mm-hmm.
I think I tend to be looking at my notes during that part.
Uh-huh.
In this episode, I really watched and everyone has their own little bit.
Antic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think what all of them are. It's Rachel, I think her bit is that she did she bring bread to feed ducks, but there aren't ducks. So mm-hmm. she's just
she
eating the bread.
To eat the bread. Yeah.
Yeah. Chandler is pretending to be the fountain, right?
Yeah. Is he actually, does he drink fountain water?
I'm guessing they cleaned and replaced that water. Cause also Ross is also fully submerged in the water and then pops his head up. And smiles at the camera. I'm trying to remember what else everyone else is doing.
I know they're kicking water.
Yeah. Yeah. But everyone has their own little like thing. I should have made a better note of it.
Yeah, I'll pay more attention next time. I've seen it so many times, it's just like background. I'm not like...
Or is Joey the one who spits water? And then Chandler's thing is that like he's trying to get the fountain to come on and whatever, and it won't come on?
Yeah.
Something like that. But I can't remember at all what Monica and Phoebe are doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't picture it.
But anyway, it's very fun. I wish... I don't know. I'm probably repeating myself, but I miss when shows have like full title sequences. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I were recently watching Bridgerton, and Bridgerton has this kind of cool title sequence, but it's only on the first episode of each season. Mm-hmm. And Glow did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Glow had a cool, like, this is a Netflix thing. Although I like that BoJack Horseman like has a full title sequence, but it like changes over the show to sort of like reflect what's going on. Like I'm rewatching the show when you get into season three, which is at the end of season two, BoJack buys a boat, you know? Yeah. And so in season three, whenever you get to the shot at the end of like BoJack's house, there's a boat in the driveway.
Right.
And I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That detail.
Yeah. Anyway. So then when the episode starts properly, we're at Monica and Rachel's. Everyone's there, including Janice, who is like essentially part of the gang at this point, which I love.
Yeah.
And they're watching Happy Days, because mm-hmm. that's what the friends do. Mm-hmm. And then a commercial comes on for Janice's soon-to-be ex-husband's mattress store. Mm-hmm. And... so everyone's like boo, because like they're all team Janice now. I love it. I'm very happy that everyone loves Janice now.
Yeah, and they're not trying to break them up anymore.
Yeah, yeah. She's a part of the group, and she's just got the cutest voice, and I just like I love Janice.
Yeah, more to come on that.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. This episode really took me on a ride. Back at the Perk the next day, we find out that Rachel has made plans for her and Ross to go to dinner with her dad.
Yeah.
Which is like, I know this isn't the point. Like, the point is he doesn't want to go to dinner with the dad. But I feel like this thing of like, if you're in a, like, people in a relationship, like, making plans for the other person without like... Let me check with Ross. Let me mm-hmm. see what his schedule is. Like, that's fucked up.
You got to get that shared calendar.
Yeah, they need a shared Google calendar.
But also, like, even though we share a calendar, we often will... We won't, like, spring something on the other. We'll talk about it.
No,
and then put it on the calendar in a funny way to make...
To make the other person laugh. Yeah. So now Ross has got to go to dinner with Rachel's dad. We find out that Joey got a job teaching acting for soap operas mm-hmm. at like some sort of
learning
continuing
annex.
Education. Yeah. Like learning annex. And Monica, we find out that even though everyone hates the Mattress King or whatever he's called, that's what it is, right? Mattress King?
Yeah. She's because blown away by these prices.
Yeah, so she takes Phoebe along with her to go buy a new mattress.
Yeah.
It's a funny scene. Like, we see that, like, the Mattress King thing is, like, taken literally. Because, like, the, like, salespeople are dressed up as, like, jesters and, like, maiden's fair and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then... Joey, we see Joey actually teaching the class. Go ahead.
See like the shot of the mattress store from the outside, it's called Bed Central, which is funny.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I didn't even pay attention to that because I was paying attention to other interstitial outdoor shots like the one of the World Trade Center, which I always always notice. So then after Joey teaches his first class, he comes over to Monica and Rachel's. They're not home, but Phoebe's home, so he's like talking with her about how much he loves teaching, and he gets to say he talks about he likes saying things like hey, the bell doesn't dismiss you, I dismiss you, yeah. Which that struck a nerve with me because as a kid, as a student, I did not feel that way. I was like, no, the bell dismisses me. And I had one teacher in particular who would get so mad at me if he noticed me packing up a minute or two before I knew the bell was going to go off.
Yeah. Imagine that's, living your life guided by an alarm.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I can't fathom why that would be. But I always,
I think a teacher who says something like, hey, the bell doesn't dismiss you, I dismiss you, is like, grow some thinner skin, man. People are in the class because they have to be, and they get to leave when the bell rings. It's not personal.
I feel like sometimes it's rude, though, when, like, you know that it's, you know, like 2 minutes until everyone's looking at the clock, and then, like, folding up their trapper keepers.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
But I feel like sometimes it's, like, rude. Like, okay, yes, we all know what we're here for. Just sit there, because it's... I don't know. I feel like...
I guess I see what you're saying, but as a kid, it's not like this person has invited me over to their classroom for a chat and a meal. Like,
but this is just,
we're all on the same schedule.
Right, but...
And I have 4 minutes.
Right.
In middle school, I have 4 minutes to get to my next class. If I need to go to my locker, or if I need to go to the bathroom between then, every second counts.
I understand that, but if you're a good teacher and you care about your job and you're taking the profession seriously, that would be, like, just such a...
I can't believe you're on the man's side on this.
Of a teacher? Sometimes a teacher is not the man.
From a student's point of view, the teacher is the man.
But you're a kid, so we're not, like, we don't have the student's point of view.
I do. I've been a student.
Teachers are hard workers and are very underpaid.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's okay, like, don't take it personally if your students want to get out of your class. Right,
listeners, let us know what side you're on, the student or the teacher.
No, but you bring up a really good point. I should, like, teachers
are not the
amazing
man.
Work. Yeah. They're not the man. They don't get paid. In a just society, they would be paid more like doctors are paid. And it would be a very highly sought after role because it's so important. Yeah. I understand it's truly important, but I guess I'm just saying there are parts of me that are still stuck in, like, middle school and high school where I'm like, oh, homework sucks. Like, I still have that, like, point
of
view.
I hate math.
Yeah, that's who
that's
I am.
It's you.
I'm like Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
Math sucks.
Yeah.
Isn't that a Jimmy Buffett song?
I think it is.
So one way I'm like Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
I guess I like cheeseburgers.
And you love Margaritaville.
Well, I liked when there was the Margaritaville Casino in Las Vegas. There's not anymore. There's still the Margaritaville restaurant, but... they got rid of that part. It's just more of the Flamingo now. It used to be its own little mini casino in the Flamingo.
Well, now it's like the Bird.
The bar that used to be the 5 o'clock summer bar is now the Bird Bar because they have bird cages all over. But it doesn't have the 5 o'clock summer bar in Vegas was so fun because there were like nickel beers at 5 p.m. every day.
Yeah.
And if you were hanging out at the bar, you would see like the bartenders the time before 5 p.m. just start filling up glasses because they knew everyone was going to come. Like,
and there was that one bartender there we always talked to who
he still works there.
Who did like all kinds of like fancy like cocktail style like fling 'em ups and throw arounds.
Yeah. So I apologize to any teachers listening that I still have the bratty student mentality.
Yeah.
Okay. What was I going to say? And, okay, so Joey also has an audition. He's going to play a boxer. Turns out Phoebe knows how to box for a reason that is supposed to be funny, but is, like, very sad and scary.
Very dark, yeah.
But her having to fight off men when she was staying at the YMCA.
Who weren't acting very Christian-like.
Yeah. Oof. And she punches him in the nose, and his nose starts bleeding. So because of that, they don't even notice that when the mattress arrives, Phoebe just sort of signs for it, makes up a middle name.
But the guy who delivers it even goes, like, leans into it. Hear ye, hear ye. Your mattress has arrived.
Yeah. So they didn't even notice that they sent the wrong bed. Yeah. They sent the little kid's race car bed, which was something I didn't mention at the store that Phoebe, like, saw a kid on the race car bed and made some joke about in England that bed would be on the other side of the store. Yeah. Wasn't a great joke.
No. Also, if you're expecting a big furniture item, they give you a window and like you're usually home and like orchestrate the delivery and where it goes and the setup.
Yeah, Monica shouldn't be taken by surprise.
Monica shouldn't be like, She should have arranged to be home during the window of delivery.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
But then Phoebe wouldn't sign hilariously as Monica Falula.
Falula.
Geller.
Okay, so Ross and Rachel go to dinner with her dad. He's once again played by Ron Liebman, who played him before in the one with the two parties, right?
Right, yeah.
He's still... he still loves his boat. He's very sad that his boat has rust, which is boat cancer. And then like Ross makes a joke about losing a bike to cancer or whatever. And it's very like Dr. Green does not like the joke, but it's like cute that Rachel likes it, but has to like hide that she thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the dinner, so Dr. Green doesn't like Ross, but at the end of the dinner, Ross, we'll get into some more questions of etiquette here. It turns out Dr. Green is a bad tipper.
Yeah.
And they tip like 4%, which is awful.
Yeah.
But also, Ross shouldn't have looked, right?
Yeah, it's weird that he looked.
That's bad etiquette, too.
Yeah.
Like, because I've definitely been in situations where someone else is paying, and I am like, I hope they tipped well, but I have to be like... I'm not paying, you can't look. So Ross shouldn't have looked, but he looks and then he tries to fix the tip, like Larry David did.
I'll look if it's just like us.
I try not to even do that too, because you've said that you feel like I'm like checking on you to making sure you leave it. So I've stopped doing it. I've stopped looking even if you're paying. I've stopped looking.
But we've both established like no matter what, and like, excuse me. Ross even says, like, I tip 20% even if there's a bug in my food.
Yeah.
And we're the same.
Yeah, yeah. I think he says 15%. This was 20-something years ago. Right. We're 20% minimum tippers. I noticed last night you and I went out to a bar and had dinner. And they give you the little, like, hey, if you want to tip 15%, it's this. 20% it's this. 25% it's this. But I realized that's because you and I have said before that we both believe you tip on 20% after tax. Mm-hmm. And I realized I was looking at the thing and I was like, that's not 20%. I realized they were doing it pre-tax. So I, not to toot my own horn, but I did actual 20%.
I've definitely been in a situation where it's like at a bar and we're like a friend and I are getting food. So we're doing like a split check and I will overcompensate when I see the other.
So you are looking.
I mean, if it's right in front of me, it's hard.
But I'm saying I go out of my way not to look.
But if it's, we're each given the thing, like right in front, they don't even know maybe whose it is. You know, they just like split it and I see. So yeah, I guess I do look. Particularly, I have some friends who are
bad tippers.
Who are
Dr. Greens.
Dr. Greens in this case.
4%ers.
So I will overcompensate because the same bartender is serving both of us, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll do a little bit more.
Okay. So after that, we're back at...
I just thought of another thing.
Go ahead.
Someone like posted, I don't know if it was like a tweet that was like reposted, but it was like when you go to like a store or restaurant and you see like a tablet at the register, you know you're gonna tip for something that like normally you would never tip.
Yeah, but I love that
because like, there's always gonna be a tipping option, like no matter what.
Yeah, but I say if there's a tipping option, I will tip.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I'm. I know like there are things that are bad about this, but I'm very much like a no cash person. I almost never have cash on me unless I've gotten cash out because I know I'm going to need it for a specific thing. I almost never have cash on me, which I know is bad. But I do feel bad sometimes I'm in a store where they don't have like the tip thing on the touchpad, but there's like a tip jar, but I don't have anything to put in there.
Yeah.
I should like get back to
keep
carrying cash because like there are tips
bills.
Or if like someone on the street needs some money, I should have money, but I'm very much, I almost never have any cash on me at all ever.
Yeah.
And I probably should.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So Joey's back teaching his class and he's giving all these like, very practical acting tips about like how to pretend to cry, what sort of face you make if you're supposed to be like coming up with the mean, or, you know, a dastardly plot, or if you're like, you've gotten bad news or whatever. And it's very funny because, like, throughout the rest of the scene, we end up seeing him, like, do some of these things, which is very funny.
And we've already seen the joke when he, like, the smells smell a fart.
Yeah. And but then a student comes up to him after to ask for some tips because he's got an audition, and it turns out it's the same audition that Joey has, the boxer character. And this actor, Joey's student, is played by an actor named Khalil Kane, who I recognized immediately because, through no fault of his own, he's a good actor, but he is in maybe my least favorite episode of Angel.
I don't even remember him.
Do you remember the episode? So you remember, we've watched Angel a couple times. You remember that the character Gunn, J. Agus Richards' character, used to be a part of like a street team of like vampire killers.
Yes.
And then he's like moved on to just working with Angel Investigations. So there's an episode where we find out like, oh, there's like a new leader of that, of Gunn's old gang.
Okay.
And he's like kind of a psychopath, and he comes back and he holds, what's Lauren's club called? Anyway, he holds everybody hostage at Lauren's club. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's a terrible episode.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like it's so trying to be like, you know, the
gritty.
The gritty's street, like 90s LA, like South Central, you know. Don't Be a Menace. Menace, not Don't Be a Menace. That's the joke. Yeah. The Menace Society, South Central type of thing. It's a very, cringy, in today's words, episode. That's not Khalil Kane's fault. He's a good actor. It's just a bad episode. Despite the fact that Rachel liked Ross's bike joke, they're still kind of fighting. She's upset with how he treated her. She's saying, we have to invite him to brunch tomorrow morning to make this up, you know. And I thought that, like, my 2020s like brain was like, I thought they were gonna go to brunch, but invite him to brunch means have him over and prepare way too much food.
We'll get to that. Bagel spread. Yeah. Props to the props department.
I'm getting ahead of myself. There's a
Caritas.
What's Caritas?
Caritas.
Oh, Caritas.
Caritas.
Caritas is Lauren's. Yep, that's Lauren's club. Caritas. Yeah.
Caritas.
All right, so, but the important thing about this scene about Ross and Rachel, you know, is that Rachel says something about Ross, because Ross has hurt his neck, and Rachel says something about, you should go to the chiropractor, and he makes some joke about, like, I don't want to go to someone who couldn't get into medical school or something, and that, like, as much as I hate to be Ross in any situation, that's very much you and me.
Yeah.
Because I've never been to a chiropractor. It sounds like, when you say you should go to a chiropractor, it sounds like you should go get your palms read. That's what I think. That's like, that's the level.
Ross have a lot in common.
That's how much I take the chiropractic practice.
Whether or not you think it's bogus or hokum, like, if it works and helps people, then why dismiss it?
I guess you're right.
And also, like, because of my
back, it doesn't hurt anyone.
It doesn't hurt anyone, and actually, like, I swear by a chiropractor.
Yeah.
And I need an alignment every once in a while, believe it or not.
Okay. Monica finally sees the car. I feel like this storyline didn't pay off that well. It's called The One with the Race Car Bed, but it just kind of, like,
fizzled out.
Yeah, it just kind of fizzles out. But Monica sees the car and she freaks out. They try to convince Chandler that this has always been her bed, which is weird that Chandler's so familiar with her bedroom.
And why was she so embarrassed to say, like, oh, like, Phoebe signed for the wrong bed?
Yeah.
Like, why is that an embarrassment?
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah.
Joey decides to sabotage Khalil Kane's character's chances at getting the part as a boxer by advising him to play it super gay, in his words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it backfires.
Backfires. Yeah. Yeah. What doesn't backfire is the brunch plan, because Ross and Dr. Green end up getting along like gangbusters by criticizing Rachel together.
Which is a Seinfeld storyline. It was very much like,
oh, like when George
Elaine and George like end up bonding over, like,
the only thing
fun
they can
Jerry.
Talk about is the way Jerry gargles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's a fun scene. Yeah, Joey's plan also back backfires. The Mattress King is like, it is not in their interest to be so stubborn about not accepting returns. Joey goes back to the Mattress King with Monica to try and get to try and return the race car bed, and they're like, nope, you signed for it. Like, no store actually has this policy. No. You like, especially in the, I guess now in the age of like Yelp reviews and stuff, like you'd go out of business being so stubborn. I mean, I have to imagine the bed that Monica bought
is more expensive.
It was a nicer bed than the race car bed. Yeah. So like, it seems like they're losing a good customer there. I don't know. I don't run a mattress store. But what this leads to is this episode broke my heart. Because you and I have, like, we love Janice. I didn't know this was coming. Joey decides to try and storm back into the office to confront the Mattress King himself. And he finds that Janice is apparently getting back together with her husband.
Well, she's just, they're just making out.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's heartbreaking.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it, because I love Janice. Even though, like, I do think, like, Janice is probably too good for Chandler. Like, I do, I think Chandler's a nicer guy than the Mattress Man, probably.
Yeah.
But Chandler's also just, like, I don't know, I hate to say, like, he's so immature. And I don't mean in like the cute, like I'm thinking about superheroes way. I mean, like, I think they've done a good job of selling that, like, Chandler is truly deeply inexperienced with women. And there's a part of me that, like, I feel like, as much as I love Janice, I hate that she has to, like, spend her time, you know, educating a man on how to be a partner.
Well, she's probably, she's a divorcee, single mom. People are, I think.
So she's making out with her ex-husband. It seems like, based on her reaction, it seems like this is not something that's been ongoing.
Right.
This is like a new thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then we get a tag at the end. So anyway, I'm heartbreaking about that. And then we get a tag at the end of Chandler, who doesn't know what's awaiting him. He doesn't know the fucking sort of Damocles is dangling above his head. He's playing around like a little kid, just like the little kid was at the mattress store. He's playing around on the race car bed. Yeah, and then it's just very suddenly ends. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Did you have any of the stray observations on this episode before we move on to funniest moments?
Well, this is kind of along the props for the props department. They do the classic thing, and it was more jarring in this episode, of the empty coffee cups. In the opening scene, when like Gunther gave everyone their coffees and they were drinking them, you can see the whole cup and they were completely empty. Gilmore Girls famously did this all the time, where they always had coffee and it was so evident that it's an empty cup. And at this point, it's just kind of like one of those things. But you'd think there'd be, at least be like water in the cup just to give it some weight. But yeah, they do this poorly in this scene.
Okay, let's move on to Friends' funniest moments, and let's settle in, because I've got so many, because this was a very funny episode. I'm gonna say, I'll just start chronologically and go, the first thing that really made me laugh is the Mattress King commercial, where he's working the fact that he's getting depressed into his commercials, and he says, I'm so depressed, I'm going to slash my prices. Kind of a dark joke for
Friends. Very, very effective.
Yeah.
Funny. I don't remember in what context, but Phoebe, I think it's in the opening, at the perk, they're like saying facts about themselves or what they can't do, and Phoebe says, I can't say croissant. Oh my God! She points to herself.
Yeah, no, it's... Chandler says that he could never be an actor because he can't say gig.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she said, I can't say croissant. Oh, my God. She surprises herself.
She had a couple of just... That was also on my list.
Yeah.
But this one isn't on my list, so I'm going to say two. But I also liked her. She's, like, scolding Monica for wanting to buy from the Mattress King, and then she lays down on the mattress. And again, she says, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Lisa Kudrow's got a very funny, oh my God.
Yeah.
But that's not my pick. My pick, and this might be the single funniest thing that happened in the episode, which is not even a spoken line. It's Joey when he's teaching the class, writing his name on the chalkboard. And as his very long name goes on, he's like looking over his shoulder to look at the students. And so his name kind of like turns down like as it goes along, but then he underlines it.
Or he thinks he underlines it.
So he draws a line straight through his last name.
Yeah, it was very funny. And that was on mine as well.
You have any others?
We already talked about the bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you. We talked about that.
Yeah, you made me feel... Now I feel like a jerk for being, like, anti-teacher.
Yeah.
I'm like a real, I don't know, Republican. Right?
Yeah.
I should say, by the way, this episode... I want to call out that this episode was directed by Gail Mancuso. She's done a lot of... TV and stuff, but this episode was a particularly well directed one, so I wanted to call that out. You have other funniest moments?
Rachel at dinner was talking about like she knew her dad was a bad tipper and she's tried to comment on it, but it's pointless.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ross is like, "Well, you're a waitress, like you should be more offended." And she's like, "Yeah, but I give him the sneezers."
And then, if this happened to me, I'd give him a sneezer.
And Ross is like, "Do you actually do that?" And she's like, "No, like clear
well,
that she."
I don't.
Yeah,
yeah.
So she does give them sneezers.
My next one. I have two more. My next one is also at the dinner when Dr. Green is talking about how the restaurant they're at is known for lobster, and he says, "What do you say? Should I just order three?" And Ross says, "Yeah, if you're really hungry."
Yeah.
I love that Ross just like making cute jokes to try to like endear himself to Dr. Green, but it's making it worse and worse. And then the last thing is on the physical thing. When I can't remember who is it that first comes home after it's Ross and Rachel come home from the dinner right after they've talked about the chiropractor or whatever, and Phoebe is still in the apartment like, and she's so antsy, like she's just like
doesn't know what to do with herself.
So I imagine for hours she's just been standing in the kitchen going like, oh, like dancing back and forth from one foot to the other. It was a very funny physical thing. Should we move on to Friends but make it fashion?
Yes.
Well, sticking with that same scene, well, that from the dinner scene into that scene, Rachel has like a cream colored suit and a matching sweater that turns out to be a tank sweater when she takes off the jacket.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
I didn't like this outfit. It was like one note.
All right.
But I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I liked in the scene that they're watching the Mattress King commercial, Monica has some high orange boots. I don't know if you notice them. And I'm normally one to talk shit about boots.
I know. On these shows, but How I Met Your Mother, you don't like the, you don't
I
like
actually
all the
like
boots.
These boots.
And we got plenty of boots on How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves. My next one is the scene where Monica sees the bed, and then the following scene in the perk, she's got like a long sleeve green like polyester blouse.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't know if it was satin, but it looked thicker like polyester. Okay. But it was cool.
Yeah.
She looked like it was very 90s in the sense it reminded me in a female way of like pre-shaved head Billy Corgan used to always wear like long sleeve polyester shirts with like big collars. Uh-huh. Do you remember like in the Today video and stuff like that? Yeah. So it reminded me of like a pre-skinhead, you know, he's a skinhead, pre-chrome dome Billy Corgan.
Right. I like Rachel in a turtleneck. Yeah, she looks great. This was the scene where they were having brunch, the brunch scene.
Well, my final one is at that brunch scene. Dr. Green is wearing a plaid sport coat, but it's a very like... subtle, like a muted color plaid. It's like a formal plaid almost. It like sort of straddles that line between like informal and formal. It's a good jacket. What are you laughing at?
I forgot about one of the funniest lines.
Okay.
It was when Dr. Green refers to Ross as wethead, and then when he shows up for brunch, he says, "What, do you swim here?" Which I think it's very funny because his hair is always like greased up.
Yeah, he says, "Nice hair. Did you swim here?" And then Rachel's like, "What?" He said he liked your hair and he just wanted to know how you got here. Did you have any running jokes, motifs, foreshadowing, things like that? Did you notice?
We talked about Gunther's love for Rachel.
Yeah.
watching TV shows, commenting watching on TV shows,
yeah.
Homophobia sprinkled in.
Yeah. Also, I wrote too much breakfast.
Not enough breakfast, I say.
They're always preparing. It's for three people. Like,
they love a bagel spread. They love a schmear.
How many bagels do you think Rachel and Monica eat per breakfast, like per day?
They probably eat like a quarter of a bagel.
I always, now, you know, I'm back in the office a couple days a week, but it hasn't, I don't know if it ever will go to like full-time office work again, so we don't have Bagel Fridays anymore like mm-hmm. we used to. But I always like thought it was kind of, I don't know, it kind of bothered me when someone would just take half a bagel, you know? Mm-hmm. Like from the
top or the bottom? No, I don't think so.
Because it feels like...
people want only half.
But then there's a half left that you know someone touched, and it's like, why are you leaving your trash behind?
It's not trash. It's like, if you are... Like, what would you prefer? To throw it away?
I prefer they eat the whole thing, I guess. But I'm saying, if I only wanted half a bagel, I feel like, and maybe this is me being like a germaphobe or whatever, like, I don't want the half a bagel that I know someone else who I don't know who they are already picked up and manhandled.
If you're a germaphobe, you don't have communal food.
That's true.
So, I guess one way to do it is like, if you have a friend there, like, do you want half of my bagel?
Yeah, yeah.
To kind of, like, create a situation.
Unfortunately, I don't really have that kind of friendship with any of my coworkers.
You wouldn't share a bagel with a single one of your coworkers.
I don't think I have. I mean, I like my coworkers just fine. We talk about movies. But I don't know if I have a food sharing type
movie? Do you like bagels? Do you want to share one with me? I like the top. Do you like the bottom?
Do you have anything else, or should we move on?
Let's move on.
Well, let's take a quick break first.
Okay,
it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we are back and we are ready to talk about How I Met Your Mother, Season 3, Episode 7, Doa Se Tripla. Natalie, take us away.
Okay, so we open with Ted introducing the idea of mistakes being made. We start with Barney, and he made a mistake named Meg. So he he starts with like pretending to be like pro commitment, and how he wants to like settle down just to kind of bed this lady who I guess he likes her breasts and is objectifying her. And then we're at like the apartment, and we kind of see that Marshall and Lily are trying to kind of like have a romantic dinner, and they're kind of like, there's like a bubbling discontent about like not having their own space.
Yeah.
So they decide to go apartment hunting.
Well, I thought it was weird because usually Ted, his whole thing is that he's the responsible one of the group, you know?
Yeah.
Like, remember when Ted briefly, like, packed up to move in with Robin and, like, all of the, like, stuff like, in the kitchen was Ted's? Yeah. Like, it's funny to think of Ted as being, like, the you know, Dupree and Yumi and Dupree.
Yeah.
Because he's normally the
He's the one staying up till 3 with cigars in the apartment. But, yeah, it comes to, like, they're trying to have a romantic dinner, and there's another little scene where Lily walks in on Ted shaving his balls.
He's grooming himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. let's see. Okay. So yeah, we are talking about Marshall's mistakes. He's only made 3 mistakes in all of his life. One, he tried to fly off the roof when he was a little kid. Another one, we saw the wedding when he shaves a line down the middle of his head.
Yeah.
And the third is getting into real estate.
This particular
real estate venture.
Yeah.
And there kept being the scene where, like, we see it play out, and then Ted will say is what he should have said, or what they should have said, and what they actually said is, like, the opposite of what they should have said.
Yeah.
We get a fun little future fantasy. Marshall and Lily both have, like, alternative, like, so they want their own space to, like, start their family.
Yeah.
And Marshall's fantasy is having four boys and they're all playing the drums. They have, like, a band.
Yeah.
And then Lily comes in with a plate of, like, chocolate pancakes.
Yeah.
And then in Lily's fantasy, they're, like, she has two daughters and they're French.
And the names are
I don't remember
Penelope and Daphne.
Yeah, yeah. they speak French, and Marshall brings, like, a plate of chocolate crepes.
Crepes au chocolat.
Yeah,
yeah. you took one of my funniest moments, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
Who wants crepes au chocolat? But also, they, like, have a mother daughter group show at the Met.
Yeah,
they're successful artists.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're painting. So Robin, this is, like, an extension of the plot line of Lily having, like, crazy credit card debt, like 15 credit cards all maxed out because she's a shopaholic.
Yeah.
So she and Robin's trying to convince her to tell Marshall before they make a huge mistake. They go to a, shopaholic meeting. I don't know what the term would be, like.
Yeah, I mean, she says, "My name's Lily, and I'm a shopaholic."
But right.
That probably is. Like,
and then Robin says,
"Hi, Lily,"
and then no one else says it. And she's like, "Oh, I guess that's not what we do here." But I think for all of those, like, 12-step programs, it's like admitting that you have a problem and people being accepting and welcoming. But
I don't know. I've never been to. I've only seen them in movies and TV shows.
Oh, I've been with. Then it all kind of comes to a head when they go to the mortgage broker, and Lily's idea is that she won't even give her information. It'll just be in Marshall's name, who has good credit and a good job, because he took the corporate job, mm-hmm. you know, so they could do things like this. And then the mortgage broker is like, "I need your social security too." And there's a funny moment where she rattles it off so quickly and he still gets it. Like,
he's
real quick with the...
This guy's name is Phil Lewis is the actor. Coincidentally, I looked him up and he on the, I don't know, Disney or Nickelodeon, whatever show, Sweet Life with Zach and Cody or whatever. Okay. He played a character named Mr. Mosby.
Oh.
So that's interesting. But he's great in this scene.
I love him.
Hopefully you won't take another one of my funniest moments, but he had one of my funniest moments.
I think you're okay.
Yeah.
The mortgage broker is like, your loan amount, your interest rate will be 18%. Mm. And they're like, "That can't be right." And he's like, "Oh yeah, look at Lily's debt." And so Marshall is just gobsmacked by this, and Lily feels bad about it. They go back to the apartment and clearly have, like, a huge fight, which we don't see, but we later get a good payoff with the Mosby boys, which is Ted's, like, sleuthing and like seeing evidence of a fight and then like piecing together how it went.
Yeah.
Which was really funny.
It reminded me of, as much as I hate this movie, Willem Dafoe in The Boondock Saints. Do you remember?
Remember that scene.
Okay. Well, after the shootout, he, like, walks through the space and, like, recreates everything that happened.
But yeah, this was.
But then it ends with a reference to CSI Miami, where with Ted, like, putting on his sunglasses and making, like, a one liner.
Oh,
you know, because, like, looks like Lily left the lid off. Sunglasses on.
Okay.
And Marshall flipped his.
Okay. I just assumed that was, like, for just, like, a detective.
I wasn't a big CSI. I watched, like, regular original recipe CSI a lot, but I never watched Miami that much. But it was a thing that, like, it became a thing that, like, going in, like, the cold open would be, like, David Cruz's character, like, discovering a body or, like, looking at a crime scene and then, like, sliding his sunglasses back on and making some sort of, like, crack about the murder, and then would go into the credits. So, like, the sunglasses thing is specifically a CSI Miami reference.
Okay. But it was also a testament to how well he knows his friends. Like, okay, He saw the water bottle with the label ripped off, so he knew that Lily does that when she gets nervous. And then Marshall would go into the fridge and start eating everything because he's stressed out. And then Lily is like feeling shameful. And then they have makeup sex. So he gets it. He gets it right for the most part.
Yeah, except that he refuses to listen to Robin about what they're fighting about.
Well, yeah, because Robin knows, but it's fun when Barney and Robin are also like kind of having fun with it too, and kind of like enjoy this little mystery. So then they go to the answering machine. And the last number they call is like a...
Oh, no, he, like...
Star 69
or whatever. Yeah,
and it's a divorce attorney, and they all kind of get really scared. And then Marshall and Lily come home and say, like, we have something to tell you guys, and they were all very nervous. Barney takes it very hard.
Yeah.
Gets very emotional, even though he's the one who's always saying, like, don't get married. Marriage is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
But he's the one that's so broken up about it. And what actually, so we see what actually happens with the fight, which is almost true to the Mosby Boys.
Yeah.
So she suggests getting a divorce only on paper so that they can buy a house together, or Marshall can buy a house and they can live in it together and work on their problems. And Marshall, being the gem that he is, says like, I married you and all of your problems. We'll work through it together. I'm not going to divorce you even on paper. I love you. We'll figure it out. And there are actually homeowners. Oh, there's a whole scene with a big, comically large champagne bottle at McLaren's.
Yeah.
That's, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say everybody gets their, like, is what he should have said
moment.
Yeah. Because it's mostly about Barney and Marshall and Lily, but, like, other people get their little moments, too, as we see in that with the champagne.
Oh, yeah, you could talk about that.
Oh, because, like, Barney's about to open it, and then Marshall's about to open the champagne, and I think it's Barney who says, like, whoa, Marshall, that cork is the size of a softball, and it's pointed right at, I can't remember the...
I forgot her name.
Mindy, I think, is the waitress. It's pointed right at Mindy's face, and this is what he should have said. And then we just hear, like, pop.
Yeah, and then we see, in a later scene, we see her with a big black eye, which is so sad. we missed a part when Robin, Barney, and Ted think that they're going to get a divorce. They're like eating ice cream and drinking beer on the kitchen floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which props to the props department? ? So they use actual Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia ice cream.
Yeah.
But then the Cap'n Crunch is Cap'n Munch.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They must have certain deals.
Which we've talked about on Friends before.
Yeah. They had success rice, but grail nuts.
Yeah. So we're all celebrating them being homeowners, and then we find out why the name of the episode is what it is.
Dosa Tripla.
It stands for downwind of the sewage plant. Sewage treatment plant, which the cabbie tells them on their way to their new home.
Yeah, yeah. The real estate agent neglected to mention that.
Yeah, because it's only, it's closed on the weekends, which is when they saw...
Yeah.
The apartment.
And when Barney, we didn't really talk about the whole Barney storyline of him
asked the realtor, which we can talk about now with motherfucking Maggie Wheeler.
Yeah, we got a double dose of Maggie Wheeler today.
And she was used effectively, I thought, in this role.
I wanted her to be given more to do.
Yeah, she did make cookies.
She has to be kind of like a straight.
Yeah.
Straight. Like,
yeah. Very different. Name. Like her voice is. Was jarring to me.
Yeah, because it's so normal.
We don't get the Janice voice. Yeah. Barney says, like, can I come look at this? And she gives him, like, the key code to come in. Maybe she knows what he's planning on
seemed like
doing.
She was, yeah.
Yeah. So Barney takes advantage of poor Meg, and he convinces her that, like, this is where he lives, and this is where he wants to raise a family with her, and he says he loves her. And of course, your mom can spend the night and I'll sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Go take a shower and I'll make you breakfast. And then he leaves. He just abandons her.
It's awful.
It's awful.
But it's also very fun. Like the whole, watching Barney do that is, it's so like comically outlandish that I'm not actually like, I can't be sad for Meg. She's not a real person. It's too ridiculous.
I guess.
And there's some funny stuff that Barney says, which we'll get to later.
Okay. Any other
observations? I have
observations?
A lot of thoughts.
Okay.
I liked when Marshall yells at Ted early on. He says it's like living in the real world house, and not the early one when they all like had jobs and were responsible. It's like the later ones, which is so true.
But the peanut butter,
specifically at San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
With reference.
Pedro, yep.
Yeah. But that's so true. Like to watch the early real world where it really did seem like kind of like an experiment. Let's take all these different people and have them live their lives in the same house.
Yep.
They all had jobs. And then it just became like, let's throw a bunch of people who will create
like
drama together.
Love Island. Yes. And they're all hot and they're all just like hooking up. Yep.
Yeah. They don't like, I remember the Hollywood season, which was like 2005 or six, whatever. They like had a job in the sense that MTV found them a job as a group, mm-hmm. like that they had to go to and be like PAs every day.
Right.
But it was all fake.
Yeah.
Whereas like London, which was my favorite.
Oh yeah.
Like, everyone was like pursuing their own thing, mm-hmm. you know?
Punk rock band.
There was the woman who just worked at a hospital. There was Jacinda
mm-hmm.
Barnett.
Jacinda Barrett. Yep.
Yeah. Who went on to be an actress. And then there was the race car driver who was like,
right.
A, yay, from St. Louis. B, seemed like kind of a tool.
Yeah.
But like, we were all very excited in St. Louis that Mike was representing us. I think it was Mike. Might have been Mark.
Was it Liam or Neil who got his tongue bitten?
I think
off?
Neil is
Neil.
His name.
Yeah.
I think.
Sounds right.
All right. So what else? I had, I can't believe you and I just went through the whole process mm-hmm. of like house hunting and mortgage approval and like, it's not fun, but also like, I don't know. I feel like if you're buying a place, everybody gets paid from the seller.
Mm-hmm.
So like all you have to do is like find a realtor and a mortgage broker and stuff like that. And like, it kind of just happens, you know? I mean, I was a bit nervous. I shouldn't have been. I have good credit.
Yeah.
Good to very good credit. Mm-hmm. But you have like exceptional credit. So I had,
it's excellent.
I think it depends on which, like, because there's like FICO and then there's, what's the other one?
Experian.
Something like that. And one uses excellent, one uses exceptional. But it's not, either way, you have the top tier credit. So I wasn't like, I'm not in Lily's point of view, but I did like have a fear like, am I going to fuck things up because I don't have as good a credit as Natalie does. But no, it went well and we bought a place. I don't know if we've really talked about that on the podcast, but we're in a home townhouse that we own.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Yeah. What else? The one thing that didn't work to me about Barney's plan of abandoning Meg is that he met her at McLaren's.
Like, he's going to see her again.
Exactly.
She knows where to find him.
I feel like if Barney's going to be doing this sort of thing, he should be like trolling bars that he doesn't frequent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like far, far away from where he lives.
Yeah. Let's see. I talked about Boondock Saints and CSI Miami. So I had to look this up because Robin says that Lily has a pile of debt bigger than Mount Waddington, and no one knows what she means because she claims that's the highest peak in Canada. So of course I looked it up. Mount Waddington is not the highest peak in Canada. It's the highest peak in the British Columbian Coast Mountains. Even then, not entirely true, because Mount Fairweather and Mount Quincy Adams are both higher, but they straddle the U.S. border. Mount Waddington is the highest peak in this mountain range that is entirely in Canada. But the actual highest peak in Canada is Mount Logan in the Yukon.
Thank you for that.
I think the listeners would want to know. I if I were listening, I would find that interesting.
My eyes just glazed over for a second.
Couple other things. They're talking about, like, because Barney's really sad, or Robin says, like, if they divorce, I'm not going to hang out with you guys anymore.
Right.
You guys will hang out with Marshall while I'll hang out with Lily, which made me think of Happy Endings. Which is in the show whose entire premise is that like two of the friends in the friend group were engaged to be married and one stood the other up at the altar. And it was like weird. And then like it was funny when Ted was like to Robin, like, you and I dated and we still hang out. It's not weird. And then everyone's like, eh, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And then I liked, I don't know if this is maybe a segue into funniest moments. I didn't actually think the joke itself was funny, but I like Barney legitimately being emotionally invested in Marshall and Lily, mm-hmm. but then still using that as an excuse, like while wiping tears from his eyes, making like the like corniest, like hackneyed old dad joke ever about like, Marshall married Mrs. Wright. He just didn't know her first name was Always, which is like not a new joke. That's a very old joke. Like, and I like Barney telling that joke while being sad was a funny moment. But I guess that gets us into funniest moments unless you have more.
You know what I thought was like really sophomoric was like Barney wanting to like steal Lily's bra. Like he sleeps with women all the time. Like, why would he be fascinated by like, ooh, like a sexy bra?
But that's Barney's,
they find a bra in the couch.
But Barney's not sophisticated. Like he still like he presents as sophisticated as a tool to get laid, but he is still essentially like a 13-year-old boy.
I guess.
If but Barney were the type of person who could be like so accustomed to seeing bras that he wasn't titillated by them, then he wouldn't be the kind of person Barney is.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it just seemed like, ooh, like that's like such a little boy thing.
Yeah. To get and excited. That's what he is.
Okay. All
right. Do you have any funniest moments?
Yes. So, the comically large champagne bottle is truly like, it's probably like, I don't know, 5 gallons or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's insanely large. And so in celebration, Marshall wants it and asks Mindy the server for it. And she says, well, it hasn't been refrigerated. And at one point there's a fish in it. And Marshall says, once you made the sale, stop selling. Yeah. Like he's delighted by this idea.
We also mentioned who wants crepes au chocolat.
Yes.
One of the funniest things when Barney's being a creep to Meg, pretending the place is his, he passes Maggie Wheeler's cookies off as his own.
Yeah.
And she's like, did you make these? And he's like, guilty. My sister's taught me how to bake and how to listen.
Yeah, that was funny. when Ted is like solving the mystery, that whole part was really funny.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. But when Robin's like in on it too, and he says, nice work, Rook.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about my next one, which is that he keeps like tasting things.
Yes, off the ground.
Off the ground. Like, first, he like tastes
the ice cream
to see how old it is, and then Robin's like, Ted, that was on the floor.
Yeah.
And then like he tastes Lily's like Kleenex, like she was crying, and Robin. I like that it's especially funny that it's not a big thing. It's just Robin going, "Ooh, Ted."
Yeah.
Like kind of like "Ooh, David" from Schitt's Creek.
Very much so. Yeah, and it's funny because then they all end up like eating ice cream on the floor. Is this freezer just full of Cherry Garcia? Like my parents.
Well, parents. Your parents like Americone Dream, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they like the, is that the late night one?
No, that, yeah, oh no, that's the Stephen Colbert one.
Okay.
They like the Jimmy Fallon one? No, late night is Seth Meyers?
I don't know.
They like one of the late night talk show host ones.
But my parents always have no less than 3 pints of Ben & Jerry's in the freezer.
Yeah. My last funniest moment, and I wish, sometimes I write something down thinking I'll remember the whole thing. But I said earlier that I wanted to call out how good Phil Lewis is as the mortgage broker.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Lily makes some joke to try and like put off like him looking up her her information or whatever, and he like legitimately laughs at her joke, and which is a terrible joke. And then he goes, "Okay, all right, back to business." I don't know. I can't drive home enough how much I liked Phil Lewis in that one scene. He was really, I was really tickled by his performance.
Yeah.
Should we move on to How I Met Your Mother, but make it fashion?
Yeah. Lily had some wild fashions. There was one, like dress with like gemstone applique. It was like bedazzled to such an extent, like big, giant, comically large gemstones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Applied on her dress.
Yeah. She also had, in the mortgage scene and for the rest of the episode,
the wrap belt.
So she had this green dress that had a weird like mesh back.
Yeah.
But then the thing that was most, yeah, it had a wrap belt that literally looked like duct tape. It was the exact color and luminosity.
It was like of duct tape, faux leather, or like latex.
But didn't it look like someone had just wrapped duct
tape? It was the color of duct tape.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah,
terrible. Do you have more? I have more.
No, go ahead.
So I have one more bad one at the Shopaholics meeting. Robin is wearing more like clothes that look like they're crocheted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I did love two things I loved. I loved Fantasy Marshall's turtleneck.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually very similar to, the listeners won't know what I'm talking about, but the sweater that I wore yesterday to dinner, if that were a turtleneck, it was like that kind of like color and it looked very soft. And
okay.
Anyway, the listeners have no idea what that means. The other thing I really liked is the... whoever's bathrobe it is, but Meg is wearing, she says, I'm wearing your bathrobe to Barney because they spent the night at this place. It's a very cool bathrobe. It was like kind of like vertical light blue, dark blue and light blue stripes. And it looked very like terry cloth and very comfortable. It looked like a high end bathrobe.
Yeah. But it's funny. It was like part of the apartment staging.
Well, no, because Maggie Miller says like someone lives there. They're just out of town.
But we don't believe anything she says.
That's true.
She's not to be trusted.
Yeah, you can't trust.
You can't trust her.
Wait, you can't trust her because she's a real estate agent, or you can't trust her because she went behind Chandler's back?
No, because she didn't tell, like she sneakily didn't tell them that it was downwind of a sewage plant.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's why you have to like, I guess this was a thing that that didn't match up with our experience. Like Maggie Wheeler's playing like the seller's agent, but a buyer would also have an agent who would like find out that shit, right?
True. Yeah. Because she also says like, oh, there's another couple who are really interested. And then what Marshall should have said was, I'm not going to fall for that. But what he actually says is, oh my God, we'll take it. We need to buy it right now.
We'll give you so much more money.
We'll give you so much more money. Yeah, that should have been my funniest because it made me laugh.
Any running jokes, motifs, foreshadowing? Do we get any catchphrases? I can't remember. We didn't get any legendaries or
we didn't get any wait of for it
or suit ups.
We got the like taxi cab.
Yeah, but it wasn't Ranjit.
It wasn't Ranjit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Canada, Robin being Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. There wasn't much Canada bashing, but I guess just no one knowing about Canada. But I was surprised to find that Mount Waddington is a real place.
She talked about kilometers and they laughed about.
About like, it's the high, it's however many kilometers high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any similarities? Aside from.
Maggie Wheeler. That's a big one.
Yeah.
The other one I wrote, divorce. We've got talk of Marshall and Lily divorcing.
Right.
In Friends, you've got Janice is going through a divorce, but also Rachel is dealing with her own parents' divorce. And that's one of the things she says is like part of the reason she wants Ross to get along with her parents so much is she already has to keep them separate. Yeah. She doesn't want him to be another like point of contention with her relationship with her parents, which is fair.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, to his credit, like, Ross is trying.
He's trying.
And it works.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually. I have, this is a bit of a stretch, but, or a reach, is just breakfast foods. So in the fantasies, there's crepes and pancakes and then the full brunch bagel spread.
Someone, I saw this on Twitter recently, someone, like, screenshotted, like, English language Wikipedia and French language Wikipedia. And do you have something?
Yeah.
But real quick, the English listing for crepes describes them as a thin pancake. The French listing for pancakes describes them as a thick crepe.
That's very funny. That's very funny. It's a very, like, myopic...
Yeah.
Even to, like, drill down the breakfast food even further, there's talk of a croissant and then crepes.
That's right. That's right.
And How I Met Your Mother.
The only other thing I had, these are obviously, there's miles between them, but characters making large purchases. I mean, obviously.
A mattress
and a home are very different.
Yeah.
Now, we say mattress, but clearly Monica must have bought an entire bed.
Yes, because it wasn't just like she had the frame already, bring in the mattress.
Or do you think she did only buy a mattress, but because of the mix-up, the movers like took away her perfectly good bed frame?
Yeah, none of it really made sense. We have to do a lot of guesswork.
Yeah. Well, I hate this, but let's play favorites. This is going to be a tough one.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, Friends.
I mean, this sort of like, you and I have had this conversation. I can't remember if we've had it on the podcast before, but you and I have different interpretations of like, who's your favorite character on whatever show? Because I tend to interpret it as like, who's the most interestingly drawn character? Mm-hmm. And you tend to interpret it as like, who seems like they'd be the most fun to hang out with. And so I feel like it's so hard for me to pick Friends because I'm so gutted by the end of the episode.
Right.
But that means it's working. So that's why I picked Friends.
Right.
And this wasn't a layup. I think this is a very good How I Met Your Mother episode. Very strong.
Yeah, I do too.
But Friends is just firing on all cylinders right now in terms of the jokes, but also the physical bits or the non-joke bits, like Joey writing his name or Phoebe like dancing around, freaking out. Like there's just so much going on that works, and the jokes are so sharp, and the actors are so dialed into their characters, and that's kind of all true on How I Met Your Mother right now too. Like that show is also singing right now, but I just had to give the edge to Friends because I think that gut punch at the end worked for me. It didn't feel manipulative.
Yeah. You were shocked by it.
Yeah.
Audibly shocked.
Yeah.
Okay. When you say, so slight caveat. So I often favorite the ones who are like most relatable that I could hang out with, but it's because those are the characters that seem believable and authentic. Because that's who I'd want to hang out with, I guess. So yes, you're right.
But I guess what I'm saying is, if I say, trying to think of an example of a show where my favorite character is like a bad, like, I mean, if I say Don Draper is a great character, I don't mean that I like Don Draper as a person. I mean, he's a great character.
Yeah.
And he's like the most interesting.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like Ursula more than Ariel. Doesn't mean I want to hang out with her. Why can't I want to hang out with her?
All right. Should we move on to my favorite segment to introduce?
Mm-hmm.
It's called How Were We Doing? This is where we look at what was happening in the world in the days these episodes aired. We've got some interesting stuff today. So Friends Season 3, Episode 7, the one with the race car bed, aired on Thursday, November 7th, 1996. And one thing that happened, NFL player and Heisman Trophy winner Mike Rozier was shot. He survived, but he was shot. So that's sad. But a more interesting thing that happened, and I've been waiting for this to happen, because so often when we get to the show, like when we get to like people who are born on this day, it's like people who are famous to younger people. But this is Lord's birthday. Lord was born the day this episode aired.
Wow.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also ages us so much.
Yeah, that happens. And then let's talk about, oh, wow, what a coincidence. Again, listeners won't know, but you're going to be very surprised by what the number 5 song in the U.S. was on this day. Can you guess? Do you remember? What song were we talking about this morning?
Oh, That Boy Is Mine?
No, similar era. Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton.
Yeah, I was singing it loudly.
Because I was listening to Mariah Carey's My All.
Yes.
Which is a very similar sounding song.
Yes.
And you started just singing Unbreak My Heart.
Yes. And you're like, you're right to do that because they use a similar.
Yeah. So that's at number 5. Falling all the way to number 4 from its long reign at number 1, Los Del Rio's Macarena Bayside Boys Mix. Macarena, not Macarena, Macarena. It's like when I say Encanto instead of Encanto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Encanto.
And number 3, Donna Lewis's I Love You Always Forever. And number 2, Celine Dion's It's All Coming Back to Me Now. And at number 1, moving up to number 1, Blackstreet's No Diggity. I like the way you work it. No Diggity. Again, I say it every week that song comes on. I did not like it at the time. I was wrong.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Great song.
Season 3, Episode 7 of How I Met Your Mother, Dos a Tripla, aired on Monday, November 5th, 2007. Something that happened on that day. I had something interesting. The Writers Guild of America asks 12,000 of its members to join a Hollywood screenwriter strike over a dispute over residuals. I mean, it's been long enough. This is history now, but this was a huge deal. This writer's strike that had an effect on a lot of the TV shows we watch. You know. You and I recently, for the first time, watched Veronica Mars, which that's a great example of what I was talking about. Our different favorite characters, because you said your favorite character in Veronica Mars was like Wallace, who is like kind of a boring character, whereas I think Logan's my favorite character, but it doesn't mean I sign off on everything Logan does.
Well, no, Logan is just so embarrassing, and I didn't even think he was a good. I mean, he eventually becomes. Yeah. I just everything he did and said. I know what the writers were trying to do with him, but it didn't work for me.
But the season 3, which was the final season for a long time of Veronica Mars, was it wraps things up very abruptly because they had to because of the writer's strike.
Right, yeah.
Another famous example is season 1 of Breaking Bad is only 7 episodes long because of the writer's strike. And it's also the reason Jesse survived. Jesse Pinkman was supposed to die by the end of the first season.
Right.
That was the plan. Mm-hmm. And then they kept him around. And then during the downtime, they rethought it. And they were like, we like this. This character, we like this actor, and he ended up becoming, you know, such a huge part of the show. But also I like my career path, the career path that I am now on happened because of the writer's strike, because I was working in closed captioning, and the writer's strike was 2007. There was kind of a delay in that thing. It wasn't until 2008 that work just dried up, and I was a freelance closed captioner. I didn't have like a full-time contract, so I was like, there was no work for me.
Right.
So I took a temp job at the company where I now work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of the writer's strike.
Yeah.
And it worked out for me because I love my job now. So that's a big thing that happened on that day. Top 5 songs in the U.S. on November 5th, 2007.
A single one.
Yeah, but we do have some changes, not much. Colby Calais' Bubbly is at number 5. We still don't know who that is, but a lot of younger people do. Alicia Keys' No One is at number 4. And number 3, falling from number 1, Soulja Boy Tellum's Crank That Soulja Boy.
Okay.
Moving up to number 2, Timbaland's Apologize. And then at number 1, Chris Brown's Kiss Kiss.
Yeesh.
Not a song I know. Don't like Chris Brown.
We don't like him.
Yeah, you know how there's, like, with certain people, like, with like, Me Too type of stuff, or, you know, someone like Aziz Ansari gets, like, Me Too'd, and there'll be a chorus of people saying, like, I never thought he was funny anyway, and it's like, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. Like, someone can be funny
and still
be a creep.
Yeah.
With Chris Brown, I don't get it. Like,
yeah.
I've never liked any of his music. He's like, a wannabe Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I've never found his music particularly interesting. So I like, it's particularly baffling to me that people like stick by and continue to work with Chris Brown.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into comparing whether what he did is, you know, we can't like say one offender is worse than the other. That's not the way you want to think about these sort of things. But, all right. So that's that. Let's move on to the final segment. It's called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on our shows based only on the episode titles. Now, let's look at how we did last week.
Oh, gosh. I did not do well.
Well, neither did I. I was way off. I guessed Ma and Pa Geller gift Ross his old childhood race car bed for Ben. Ross endeavors to keep it for himself.
Yeah, okay, you were way off.
Yeah, and you once again said Barney and Ted are macking on some ladies who call them out on their bullshit. This is 2 weeks in a row you said that.
I'm going to get it right one of these days.
Yeah. Although I did like, because you and I were talking about how that would be an interesting premise to like see how Ted thinks he's better than Barney, but like single Ted is kind of not better than Barney.
Right.
And it was interesting how they kind of commented on that at the beginning of this week's episode, where Barney and Ted are being juvenile about like Barney's like conquests, like yeah. breasts or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Marshall and Lily are trying to like have a nice dinner at the table.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're both wrong. Well, let's see if we can do better next week. But first, I might need you to vamp a little bit.
Oh, okay. Brioche hot dog buns. Organic, grass-fed,
okay.
uncured beef hot dogs.
Okay. Season 3.
Jicama wraps. Had to get one last
time. Season 3, episode 8 of Friends is called The One with the Giant Poking Device.
Okay.
The one with the giant poking device. What would it be for? Poking, obviously. I'm going to say... Okay. It can't be Joe. Somebody's going to injure themselves.
Okay.
I'm going to say, Phoebe, Phoebe's got a bum wheel and gets a grabber thingy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Grabber thingy, which the other members of the gang use for purposes not intended by the manufacturer. So that's the thing. She's like, she like is wheelchair bound. I'm going to say Phoebe ends up in a wheelchair. She can't stand up. So she's got like a grabber thing.
A claw thing,
and the other friends use it to poke each other.
Okay, that's fun.
That's probably not what happens. How I Met Your Mother, Season 3, Episode 8, is called, spoiler alert.
That's what it's called?
Yep. Sorry.
I thought you actually had one.
Yeah, for me.
I fell for it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert... I've appreciated this season hasn't been a lot of like Ted romantic conquests.
Okay.
But we're going to get more information about, who he marries. We're going to get some clues.
Okay. Again, you're casting a wide net.
Okay. Okay,
but I see what you're saying. Like, spoiler alert, it's like
we're
calling ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I think I
we're going to get some detailed hints.
Get some more juicy details about the
mother.
Future mother of Ted's. I don't know, what should I say? Offspring?
Offspring. Kin? Kinfolk?
Yeah, I'm gonna say offspring.
Yeah.
His issue. That's all they always say about like kings and queens. Like yeah. All right. Well, I think we did it. I'm still ahead on the episode guessing challenges, 2-1 this season. We'll see.
Judging by your response to my prediction, it's not looking good for.
I think. I guess I thought the way you started talking, I thought you were going somewhere else that seemed like, oh, maybe she is going to get a good guess. But I think you went away that I honestly, this is so broad that you absolutely could get.
It got too cold at the end.
But you could still get a point off of this.
Okay.
So you can find this podcast wherever you find podcasts, wherever you found it. You can also find posts for each episode at battleshippretension.com. That's my other podcast, check out my movie podcast, movie reviews, and all the other stuff at BattleshipRetention.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Davey Pretension. But more importantly, you can email the both of us at the one where I met your mother at gmail.com. Now, Natalie, where do you want people to find you on the internet?
I don't. However, if you like this episode, you should rate it. Even if you don't like it, you should rate it. Let us know. It helps people find us. Yeah. You should tell your friends, tell your mothers, email us, tweet us, do what you got to do. If you have a message for us, we will read it. We will. If you give us a rating, we'll read it on the podcast.
We'll read the review on the podcast.
Yeah.
You mean, yeah, if not just a rating, yeah, but an actual review, or we will read on the podcast, yes. You know.
This is a long episode.
Unless it's, you know, too bad or like
no, we'll mean
or, you know, racist or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Also, if you find Lemmy on an old talk show, Lemmy from Motorhead on an old talk show. Remember, that was my call to action last week?
That's right. I forgot about that.
I don't know if anyone has responded or found out.
Yeah. What was our call to action this week? Oh, it was about Baby Elephant Walk.
It was about
I ruined it. So yeah. What's, I don't know. What's the tallest mountain in your home country?
that's fun. Are you a good tipper? What's your, any tipping
tip
stories?
Tip philosophies, yeah. Tip strategies, yeah.
Or if you're like a serving, if you have experience as a server, let us know your worst tip or your best tip. Notable tips. Notable tip stories. Until next time, see you at the Mattress Kingdom.